Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 3, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci.
He's looking at a Heisman Trophy right now. Bryce Young, plus 125. I think he pretty much cemented that yesterday. Matt Corral, plus 250. That's not happening. CJ Stroud, no. Spencer Rattler, no. Desmond Ridder, that's not going to happen. Like, that's a bet right there. Whatever. Dude, did they give that trophy? When are they to give that trophy? On December the 12th? Usually it's December the 5th, the conference championship weekend. I don't know if it's this year, if it's any different, whatever. And then it's the week after. It's the Army-Navy game or whatever. Like, we don't even have to wait that long. It's October now. October, November, 2 months. You get paid. Bryce Young, plus 125. And, you know, whatever, too. Alabama might not win the national championship. Georgia, we got Kyle in the house in Georgia right now banging. And like I said the other night, is there something going on in Atlanta right now with Georgia? The Atlanta Hawks are supposed to be good, and I think they are. I think the Hawks are going to be good again. I don't think it was a fluke last year. They're the real deal. So you got the Atlanta Hawks are good. The Atlanta soccer team suddenly doesn't suck, but they did lose to Montreal over the weekend, I might add. Club de foot de Montreal got it done. The Atlanta Braves, I think the Braves could beat the Brewers. The Braves torment me all the time, but you know what? I put that aside, and I've been betting on them down the stretch. I took them to win a division. We got paid nicely. Now, boom, we've been betting on them. I bet on them like all week. Against, I was like, they're going to beat up on the Phillies. They're going to win this division. They're going to sweep them. And I bet on him every night. So you know, I'm on an Atlanta high right now. I think the Atlanta Braves, if you look at the Braves and the Brewers do not hit the baseball very well. Like, they're not a very good offensive team. And, yeah, they have good pitching. The Brewers do have good pitching. But one of their pitchers broke his hand because he's an idiot. Their other pitchers have thrown a lot of innings this year. And, oh, yeah. The Atlanta Braves pitchers are pretty damn good. Like, Charlie Morton has won more big games than anybody on Milwaukee has before. All right, this guy's pitched and won in the World Series before, all right? Max Fried is a damn good pitcher who's pitched, like, his ass off in the second half as he got hurt, and he came back, and he's been great. Like, they have the pitching, and they have better hitting. The only thing is, like, Atlanta just sort of find ways not to win, but it's kind of ironic because they lost their best player that suddenly they could win. Now, I don't think the Braves are going to win the World Series, but I think they can beat the Milwaukee Brewers. It's going to be a hell of a series, isn't it? We got a day off to sort of breathe for baseball. Monday Night Football tomorrow. Listen, we all wanted play-in and tiebreakers and all that type of stuff, but it didn't happen. So we sort of exhale, and then we got Monday Night Football tomorrow. And then and then after Monday Night Football, of course, Tuesday night, it's the Red Sox and the Yankees. And then Wednesday night, it's the Dodgers and the Cardinals. College football, shout out to Sooner Lisa in Oklahoma. She heard us talking football. She goes, hey, it's the Red River shootout, too. Did you call it the Red River rivalry in our chat? Because I'm going to be very, very upset if you did. We still call it the shootout. Is that too politically incorrect? It's not the Red River. It's the Red River Shootout. Just like it's the biggest drunk fest cocktail party. You can change the names all you want. Seeing a total of 63.5. I'm telling you, this Texas football team dangerous with Sark. Yeah, they lost to Arkansas, but that doesn't mean they suck. The late night anger management class. It's level three, the quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. I'm not just saying that. You know what's pretty crazy, too? I was on for 4 hours earlier today. How many hosts would have the energy and the enthusiasm that I do? We're going into hour seven right now for a Sunday. Bring it. Right? We're bringing it. And I'm actually like, man, there's still a ton of stuff that I haven't even gotten to here yet this evening. So hopefully, you know, we can talk really fast and get to as much stuff as possible. Oh, yeah, there's the college top 25 was announced. And very interesting developments. Big win, of course, for the Cincinnati Bearcats, right? Cincinnati Bearcats went in to South Bend. There was a lot of hype about the game. And Cincinnati answered the call. The thing with Cincinnati is, and good for them, it's cool. They're in the top, you know what I mean? You're in the mix right now. But if you look at Cincinnati's schedule, it's really not impressive enough. And beating Notre Dame won't be enough when you compare what other teams have to go against. But Penn State and Iowa are playing each other this week. Alabama's number one right now. They got 53 first-place votes. Georgia actually got 9 first-place votes. They're both 5-0. Iowa Hawkeyes are 5-0. They're ranked number 3 right now. The Penn State Nittany Lions check in at number 4. Cincinnati Bearcats coming off that big win, 5. Oklahoma Sooners. Not getting style points, but doesn't matter. They're winning football games, and they're still a dangerous football team that has a defense now. Oklahoma, 5-0. They get Texas this week. Oklahoma's minus 184 on the money line right now at FanDuel. They currently, at this second, do not have a point spread up for whatever reason, but they got a money line and a total at 63.5. Ohio State are ranked 7 right now at 4-1. The Ducks choked against Stanford. Good job, Oregon. You had a chance. Your schedule would have been good enough. You beat Ohio State. If you would have won the Pac-12, they would have put you in the playoff. Now it ain't happening, although I'm surprised they were as nice to you and you're lingering around 8 right now. Michigan, hail to the victor. Michigan Wolverines are 5-0 and ranked number 9 right now. And the BYU Cougars, damn good football team, ranked number 10. How about Michigan State having a great season so far? 5-0 as well. Michigan go to Rutgers.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This week, so I'm fired up, man. We got college footballs kicking ass. I'm telling you right now, just take Bryce Young to win the Heisman. You don't have to wait that long. It's plus 125. It was plus 300 before the game on Saturday at FanDuel. Now it's plus 125. The Heisman's been decided. Bryce Young's going to win. Let's talk baseball. Let's talk baseball. Jason B. Tackerfin steps up and in. We hit the Wild Cups. We hit the series. Let's do it. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. We're throwing it down. Let's bring in a three-time champion with the Toronto Blue Jays, A-ball affiliate, Vancouver Canadiens. He was the general manager. He's also the general manager and the host of a great baseball podcast that he joins us weekly right here on Sports Grid and on a Late Night Anger Management Class. Jason B. Tackerfin steps up and in. Jason, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Gabe, thanks for having me. What an end to the regular season.
Well, I tell you what, man, there was more drama than a high school cafeteria on the diamonds this week in Major League Baseball. But when it was all said and done, we don't get any tiebreakers. The Toronto Blue Jays fall a game short. Seattle falls a game short. Big-time drama today. You're a Boston Red Sox fan. Red Sox are down. Gives Blue Jay fans hope. Rafael Devers then hits a two-run home run in the seventh inning. It really was a wild day, wasn't it?
It really was. That was the second home run of the day. They were down 5-1. I thought the Red Sox were going to choke. They had lost 5 out of their last 6 going into this series. They got swept against the Yankees, and then they lost 2 out of 3 to the Orioles, which should be some, like, you know, if there was a sports FBI, they should investigate that, Orioles and Red Sox, because that's terrible. And the Red Sox, frankly, didn't deserve to back their way into the playoffs like they did. They had to sweep the Nationals, who are rebuilding, and I thought they were going to blow it. Very cruel and unusual punishment for the Blue Jays.
And, you know, one thing with the Toronto Blue Jays, and I get it, they're a dangerous team, and I'm not going to discount that. But at the same point in time, you know, they seem to really improve down the stretch, and I think it's one of those cliches. You have to learn how to lose before you know how to win. And I think now, coming into next year, a lot of these Blue Jay players will be more focused on winning than just the home runs and the stats and the jackets and the fun. And I'm not taking anything away from them because they played their hearts out. And let's be real. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, but, let you know, Jason, if Toronto did not play 40-plus games on a neutral field, in which they were 20-20, I believe, and they were playing at the Rogers Center all year, they're in the playoffs right now.
No question. Not only that, but Charlie Montoya deserves a lot of credit for being able to right the ship. They didn't have 2 homes. They had 3 homes. And not only that, but they're playing in Dunedin. They're playing in Buffalo. Like, these aren't exactly hotbeds for Blue Jays baseball. Canes weren't even allowed to cross the border to cheer them on. So they were essentially playing road games with the exception of getting last licks. You know, one of the challenges with the learning how to lose before you win is that it assumes that the entire team is going to stay together. And there's 3 very big pieces of the Blue Jays that are free agents, which are, of course, Marcus Semien, who's going to get his second top 3 MVP finish in the last 3 years. Robbie Ray, who's going to finish first or second in Cy Young. And then the back end, Steven Matz. Steven Matz, the free agent. He had an incredible back end to the season, and he's going to be a free agent. Now, you can say Springer's going to be healthy, Manoah's there for a full year, Teoscar there. But it's tough to say learn how to lose when you're losing those.
And isn't Berrios up for a new contract too?
He's going into his last year, but he's going to be talking extensions. And of course, you know, we always preface when we talk about 2022, there may be a new CBA. Rogers and the Blue Jays may not be able to just spend to keep these players. There may be tighter restrictions. If the CBA was an issue, I would say, yes, the Blue Jays are going to go into next year as probably one of the top 5 favorites. They're going to continue to spend. They may even make more trades, or they trade prospects for guys like Berrios. My personal favorite, I'm going to tell you right now, it worked in 2014 when they traded for Josh Donaldson. I would go look at Matt Chapman, and I would go look and get him. He's an adult. He plays an incredible defensive third base. He shores up that position. He's got great power. His power numbers are a little bit down this year, but maybe you can buy him a little bit low, but he's got 3 years left before unrestricted free agency. He would be a great addition. He would definitely help bring some professionalism and some even keelness to that dugout, especially if they lose Marcus Semien, especially if they lose Robbie Ray, especially if they lose Steven Matz, because those are, by definition, free agents. They're older. They're more mature. They've seen a thing or two.
Jason B. Takafin with us. So it's hard to believe to say that somehow the Los Angeles Dodgers lost today and didn't win something, considering they won 106 games this year. But when it was all said and done, the San Francisco Giants hang on and essentially go wire to wire and win 107 games, man. They win 107 games. So the stage is now set. The New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox on Tuesday night. St. Louis Cardinals and the Los Angeles Dodgers on Wednesday night. And Jason, there's so much to get to, so let's jump in right now with the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. Tuesday night, FanDuel has set the number. Gerrit Cole is a -120 favorite. Nathan Eovaldi will start for the Boston Red Sox. Total is 8.5. Now, Chris Sale started today, Jason. So, you know, obviously his availability is off the table, but, you know, is it, you know, for an inning or two? But basically I'm saying this is all hands on deck start, isn't it? It's Eovaldi, Rodriguez's arm is good to go. This is an all hands on deck, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, before this year, before Sale got Tommy John, you would say, okay, Chris Sale, he's an ace. Gerrit Cole, he's an ace. You hammer the under, and you're going to look at 7 innings minimum from each of those 2 starters. Gerrit Cole's given up 15 earned runs in his last 3 starts. 7 2/3. That doesn't exactly scream locking up the Cy Young, right? His teams have an 832 OPS on him in September, October. That's not that reassuring.
And the Red Sox have hit him too, right?
The Red Sox have hit him. And you know what? You go to Nate Eovaldi, his last start against the Yankees, he gave up 7 earned runs and didn't even get out of the third inning.
The total is 8.5 runs, Jason. So you're starting to talk me into the over here. Like, so yeah. Is this going to be one of these wild games at Fenway, man? Like, it's just going to turn into one of these old school, oh boy, it's a 4.5-hour slugfest.
I can't name you one pitcher on either staffs. I'm not even kidding. Even if they bring in Chris Sale, that generally says, okay, that guy's good for 5 outs. Even Aroldis Chapman, like, I think Red Sox fans want to see Aroldis Chapman. Like, there's no one that says, okay, here's a hammer that you can bring out. There's no even Zach Britton. There's no even Hansel Robles, who's very good. He's kind of a, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. I think these next couple of days off are going to do the Red Sox very good. Xander Bogaerts, listen, his OPS is only 760 in the second half. His last 14 days, it's 663. They have got to get him going. If they have any chance of winning this game or even any chance of going deep into October, he is a linchpin in that lineup. He is so important. One of the best shortstops in baseball. He needs to show up on Wednesday big time.
Now, to me, it's somewhat of a letdown that there's not a tiebreaker. And I would have loved to have seen Seattle make it and Toronto make it. But when it's hard to say it's a letdown that you have the Yankees and the Red Sox playing, yeah, in an elimination game like this. And I remember we had Bob Ryan on about a month ago. We were talking about this stuff and, you know, about the, you know, this potentially happening. And I'm glad actually that it's at Fenway.
Yeah.
It just adds to some, I don't know, like you said, I could, you know, you're talking me into this being a higher scoring game, like that this is going to be one of those classic Yankee Red Sox 9-8 style games.
I think it's going to be due more to the sloppiness and due to the lack of pitching than it is going to be of the elite hitting. I mean, listen, if the Red Sox are going to pitch to Giancarlo Stanton with a base open up by a run in the eighth inning and you're going to throw a slider to him, then yeah, that's 2 or 3 runs easy. That was about 24 hours after he gave up a grand slam on the first pitch in the same situation. There's going to be no shadows. There's no 4 p.m. start. There's really no aces in these staffs. Again, Gerrit Cole is going to finish in the top 2 in Cy Young, but I just read you his numbers. He hasn't had a Cy Young-type performance since early September against the Anaheim Angels. And I would hammer that over. I don't know. I thought the over was going to be a little bit more. If it was old Yankee Stadium, I would say it's better at old Yankee Stadium. But new Yankee Stadium has no charm. They won a championship in 2009. It was manufactured. They brought in Teixeira. They brought in. There's no charm there. There's no history there. It's nothing. Fenway has the history. It's you know, from 1912.
Yeah, the monster, Bucky, yeah, Dent. Like, that's the thing. I'm thinking of the Bucky Dent game and all this. And for the record, it's going to be raining because, of course, it is. So yeah, scattered showers on Tuesday night, 61 degrees, 80% chance of rain.
Yeah, I still would say get the over. That if anything, that makes the baseball a little bit harder to grip, especially for Eovaldi and Cole, who just throw so hard. I wanted to see the Blue Jays or Mariners not just make it, but also host a playoff game. The Mariners, of course, have the longest drought in North American professional sports.
And it'll continue.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You want to see them make it. They have such good fans. You see it with the Seahawks.
Well, it was heartbreaking on Friday night. And the place was sold out. They had a leadoff triple. That's when they lost it. We were on the air, and I was losing it because I had money on them when I was raging. They had a leadoff triple to get nothing out of it. In the ninth, you have a leadoff double. I was mad because they didn't bunt anybody over. And, you know, it's just really, guys, the season's on the line. Bunt him over and get him home. You got nothing out of it. More with Jason B. Tackman on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenzi. We're kicking it. We're talking baseball with Jason B. Tankafin. Man, there's a lot of stuff I want to get to, so I'm going to cut the small talk. Jason, before we get to the National League wild card, then we'll get into the series as well. So Gerrit Cole, this is why he was brought to New York. You know, he always wanted to be a Yankee. They gave him the money. It's not about Cy Youngs. It's about games like this. Now, you know, the New York Yankees play for World Series championships, but one game at a time. He will be judged harshly by a New York Yankee fan. Like, the New York fan, they, you know, they love you, they hate you. Look at the relationship they have with Stanton and Judge. And, you know what I mean? If they love you, they love you. If they hate you, they hate you. It's very similar to the Montreal Canadian fan base.
It's the exact same fan base. Of course, they're spoiled by
entitled in the sense that it's all right to be mad at you, right?
Yeah. And listen, by the way, I don't even say that in a good way because, Montreal Canadiens have this fans.
No, I find it obnoxious, actually. And you know what I mean? Like that New York thing, like the Met. Oh, well, the Met suck, so it's we deserve to be able to give them the finger. Well, don't cry when I give them the finger back to you then.
Yeah, right? And don't cry when a guy.
There's a sense of entitlement about these fans.
You know, it's interesting you say that about Cole. Is Cole's very much like a Carmelo Anthony. He wanted to be in New York. He actually he probably after taxes left a lot of money on the table by going to New York.
Great point.
He grew
up. They tax the hell out of you, and that's a great point.
But it's true. Like, listen, Randy Johnson also wanted to be in New York. That didn't work out.
Talk to you about Cole and Cashman, because remember, Cashman said, "I don't think Stroman can handle New York and these type of moments." Stroman's from New York. He took that personal. Stroman's a badass. Can Cole handle this moment? Because yeah. Cole's a really nice guy. He's handled it all well and stuff, but he's got to pitch well in this game, bro. His rep's on the line in New York.
Yeah, I think so. He's, you know, this is only his second year of being a Yankee, and this is obviously the biggest spot that he's been in, mostly because he played in front of empty stadiums last year. That's not to say he started game five against the Rays. They ended up losing that game, but there's nothing like being in that rivalry with fans, with angry fans, with cold and wet fans, because like you said, it's going to be raining. Cole wants this. Again, he wanted this, and I think he wants the ball in his hands, and he wants to beat the Red Sox. And the same thing with Eovaldi. Eovaldi, he's interesting because a lot of Red Sox fans blame Eovaldi's contract for Mookie Betts being traded because they signed Eovaldi for 4 years, $67 million. And I was assumed that, okay, well, that's not going to cost us Mookie Betts. Eovaldi has pitched really well this year. If he comes out with a very strong showing, and even Alex Verdugo, who is a fan favorite, also shows out a little bit, that's going to mitigate the hate that Red Sox fans have for the Mookie Betts trade. Fans like me, I still don't understand it. I don't think you trade guys like Mookie Betts. I don't care what you get. But Eovaldi, even though he wasn't in the trade, and Alex Verdugo, those are two big pieces of that trade.
Jason B. Takafin with us. So, Jason, before we move on, what's your prediction? We're on Sports Grid. We need picks now. Now we're tuning in. We're in the picks now in the playoffs. Yankees, yeah. Red Sox. Who you got? Who advances?
I'm gonna take the over, especially if it's eight. If you have a chance, guys, yeah. You have a chance to take over 8.5. I mean, it's probably going to increase, especially with the extra day there. The game starts on Wednesday. I'm gonna say Red Sox just because I don't think the Yankees can win straight in Fenway. The Yankees just swept them, and I think the core is too good of a manager to pitch to Giancarlo Stanton like he did twice, which cost them those games. I don't think the Red Sox lose four straight in the same, 10-day span to the Yankees in Fenway Park. Like you said, it's all hands on deck. Chris Sale has those two extra days rest. The Yankees don't have someone in the bullpen to help out Gerrit Cole. Jordan Montgomery, Jameson Taillon, they're very good pitchers. They're very average pitchers, and I say that in a good way in terms of longevity for a 162-game season, but they don't exactly strike fear into the heart. They can't go out and get outs. Chris Sale can. And if Eovaldi and Sale can take them to the seventh or eighth inning, that's going to be enormous for the Red Sox. Give me the over and give me the Red Sox.
You mentioned Cora. Is there a big managerial advantage in a one game like this against Boone? What's your take on the manager head-to-head situation? Because a lot of times, you know, American League, softball, regular season, people don't think managers matter. But you just talked about Cora. Cora is a very smart guy. This is a one game. Would you rather have Cora in your dugout than Boone?
Yeah, I would rather Cora of my dugout than Boone every day of the week, twice on Sunday and four times on Wednesday. I don't think it's actually, in terms of X's and O's, Cora is one of the best, and Boone is not very good. Boone is brought in his emotional intelligence because Girardi wore
Boone
down.
Boone was brought in to handle the press and manage the situation.
Those young players didn't like things like accountability and someone talking to them after games about things they did wrong. And Aaron Boone doesn't do that. Aaron Boone, as good as he had that big home run in 2003, he's not your manager who's going to, he didn't win a Hunger Games of 32 of the best managers in baseball at X's and O's. He was brought in specifically for the New York media. He's not a really one-game manager. The huge edge is to Cora. Huge edge.
Very interesting. That's why we have Jason B. Takafin on the program to give us a huge edge. All right, Los Angeles Dodgers, despite their great season, they win 106 games, yet they're still playing in a single elimination game Wednesday night at Chavez Ravine. Odds makers open up the Los Angeles Dodgers as very big favorites. Max Scherzer versus Adam Wainwright. Los Angeles Dodgers minus 230. The total in this baseball game, 7.5. And Clayton Kershaw's status for the postseason, not looking good. Yet more importantly, and unfortunately for the Los Angeles Dodgers today, was the Max Muncy injury. Dave Roberts has stated he will not be available on Wednesday and will not, most likely, they don't want to, you know, talk about a series they're not in yet, but word is he's out. So he won't be playing. If they win, they're playing on Friday. So they play Wednesday, and then if they win, they go to San Francisco on Friday. They play Friday, Saturday, San Francisco, off day Sunday, Monday, Tuesday in Los Angeles, if necessary. Man. Losing Max Muncy. God, I don't, the question is how long is he going to be out for now, Jason? But that's not good for them. Fortunately, they're a deep team.
It's devastating. Max Muncy probably hit a bigger name. He probably would be the league leader for the NL MVP. I took Mookie Betts early in the year because I thought he was going to be the best player on the best team. And Max Muncy is that. And he probably should win the MVP. He probably won't. I'm sure we'll talk about that after. But that is an enormous loss, not to mention Kershaw with a sore left forearm, which when you're a lefty and you pitch, that's not very good. And they are talking about him as if he is also gone for the playoffs. It's interesting about the Dodgers. They are 50 games over 500, 5-0. They lost Bauer for an extended period of time. They lost Kershaw. They did not have Scherzer. They did not have Mookie Betts for a very long time.
Betts was in and out.
They didn't have Bellinger. And yet here they are, one of the most disrespected teams that has over 100 wins. For this game, I can argue both points. The chances of Max Scherzer having three straight bad starts are like nil. He had five earned runs and five innings pitched in Colorado, followed up at home to the Padres, 11 hits, five earned runs, and five and a third innings. He's not going to pitch a third straight bad start. But here's the thing. The Dodgers aren't very good. This era's Dodgers aren't very good at home in Chavez Ravine. If you take away Kirk Gibson's home run, you take away Juan Uribe's home run, they're actually very bad at home. They had two teams celebrate their World Series wins in Chavez Ravine. They had Rendon and Soto hit home runs a combined 11,000 miles.
And I think it's a good point that you raised. They won their World Series on a neutral field.
But they have also, Chavez Ravine, game one in 2014, giving up that really big lead. There are a lot of playoff series in Chavez Ravine, and I think that's going to be good until it is very bad. And a lot of Dodgers fans will have sports PTSD if they start blowing the lead in the fourth or fifth inning, or their ace starter doesn't pitch very well, or if there's a big error. They aren't very good at home. And that World Series, like you said, was won in a neutral zone site. It still counts. But if you're a Dodgers fan watching that game in Chavez Ravine, it is very different.
There's a different pressure on the team. There is. I can't dispute that. And you know what I have in the back of my mind is always that fear. It's one game. It's a baseball game. Remember a couple of years ago, I was doing the show live at the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands. Remember when the St. Louis Cardinals scored like 14 runs in the first inning on the Braves?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like that stuff can happen. What did they score? 11, 12, 13, 14, whatever it was.
The thing was over by, it wasn't even close. And the thing with the Cardinals is Adam Wainwright's got two complete games. They're both on the road. He has averaged 78 innings pitched in 13 starts. That's six innings per start. That is very good. He's 10-2 in the second half. In the second half, he's averaging almost seven innings a start. He is a veteran. He is your prototypical non-Hall of Fame guy who is good enough to get his jersey retired by his home team. Torrey Hunter, Jason Veritek, those types. That's amazing. That guy's seen a thing or two. He's been through a thing or two in big games also. He's not going to be rattled. I don't need to tell you that Paul Goldschmidt and Tyler O'Neill may even backdoor their way into top five or six in the MVP. They may even, I've heard Goldschmidt could even be like in the second or third if they don't want to give Tatis or Harper the rub. Cardinals are really hot. They started the All-Star break, one game over 500. They're 18 games over 500.
Let me ask you, we got a minute before the break.
Okay.
For the Cardinals, you're the GM. Do you hate this that you're off till Wednesday right now, considering how hot you guys were? You're off until Wednesday. You know what I'm saying?
It throws you off. It's not necessarily a good thing that you're off until Wednesday. It ruins your rhythm. You don't get 2 days off in baseball. One day off is not very good. No, sorry, Tuesday. I know that the Cardinals, they're playing, but it kind of screws with your rhythm a little bit. Not to mention, you have a lot of time to think.
Like, baseball players never get 2 days off. Like, there might be a rain out one day, you know what I mean? They might not take, they don't take batting practice on Sunday early games. Nobody wants to show up early and do it. So, you know what I mean? But like you said, these guys really are creatures of habit and routine.
Yeah. I if I were the Cardinals, I would want to play tonight in LA if I can. It's possible. Like, they're so hot. They're hitting the ball so well. And again, they're 3-4 against the Dodgers this year. They're not going to be afraid of them. They have beaten the Dodgers before, even though they have 106 wins. I saw the Dodgers at -220. Just before we got on it. If you have a chance to take the Cardinals at that line, that is an incredible line, especially if Muncy is out. And again, it is unlikely Max Scherzer is going to throw a third straight bad game, but those ghosts of Chavez Ravine are not positive ghosts for the Dodgers. Those ghosts.
Kenley Jansen is always a concern. Like you said, if the Dodgers don't have a big lead, or like, yeah, there's a lot of stress in the air here right now. That's why I wanted to avoid playing this game and win a stupid division. It wasn't even about the money. More with Jason B. Packavitt on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Rinsey on Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM Channel 204.
Late Night Anger Management Club continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. We're talking baseball, and time is just flying by. The quickest 180 minutes of Sports Talk Radio. We love kicking it with Jason B. Takafin and getting his predictions and his insight into the Major League Baseball playoffs. So before we move in into the series and move on from the wild card, you're taking the Boston Red Sox. You think it's going to be a higher scoring game. What do you think of the total with Scherzer and Wainwright at 7.5? And what's your final pick going to be here? Are you going to go with the value in the St. Louis Cardinals?
-220 is a lot. Like, it's a lot. It's hard to bet against a team that's as hot as the Cardinals with their ace on the mound, not their true ace like Jack Flaherty, but their ace like Wainwright, who's been their ace all year. It's incredible value. Goldschmidt and Tyler O'Neill are just out of control right now. I would take the value, and I would take the under. It may get to be like a 6-1 or 6-2. We'll see what the final number is, but I would take the value with the Cardinals for sure.
All right, Jason. So we've got series prices set right now. The Chicago White Sox and the Houston Astros, they're on Thursday, and then the National League starts on Friday. So White Sox, Astros. FanDuel has made the Houston Astros a small -124 favorite in this series. And it's somewhat surprising to me. I thought it'd be a little bit bigger because if you look at their World Series odds, the Los Angeles Dodgers are 4-1. The Houston Astros are 5-1. The Rays are +550. The Giants are +550. And the White Sox are 7-1. So I just find it interesting that Houston are that shorter for the World Series, but this series is basically listed as a pick 'em. What's your opinion on the Houston Astros and the Chicago White Sox? And let me ask you first question, actually, speaking of managers. Wow. Tony La Russa versus Dusty Baker. You want to talk about, they got like 100 years of experience between these guys, multiple World Series rings between them as players and champion and managers and two winners. Dusty's never won a World Series as a manager, but he's won, I think he's won a couple, two as a player, actually. One as a player. What a great series, though, and interesting managers going head-to-head, isn't it?
It's incredible. To me, this feels like Dusty Baker's redemption. All we heard about Dusty Baker was 0-2 in the Giants and with the Nationals and how he's so good at blowing leads. You know, the Astros are 5-2 against the White Sox this year. The White Sox, if you extract the Field of Dreams game, it feels like they didn't exist this year because they clinched the playoffs by the middle of May. They had no competition.
I don't like teams like that in the playoffs. I think they have a hard time turning it on and off.
it's impossible. We call that Atlanta Braves syndrome because you can't manufacture that adversity. You can't manufacture the full house. You can't manufacture adrenaline. Yeah. It's not a switch. Now, the Astros also had a great year, but they had the Mariners and A's in the back. And not to mention, they have the American League's best-kept secret of Carlos Correa, who's having as good of a year as you can in his unrestricted year. It's going to be very difficult for me to bet against the Astros right now. They're on fire. They've done it so quietly. I think Dusty Baker, and we've talked about this before, you've mentioned this, he's the perfect manager for this Astros mess. And yep. I think that he's going to be able to lead them. He's probably got them all believing, firing in all cylinders. The big players have played very well. Altuve has had a very good year, albeit not necessarily by his standards, but he's had a very good year. Correa's been on fire. Correa could backdoor. He will backdoor into the top five AL MVP. He probably would win it if you took away Guerrero and Otani. I would take the Astros in this series. I just think it's Dusty Baker's time. I really, really do.
I think it's a perfect combination of a couple of things. And if you're the White Sox, you got to wonder, too, and ask yourselves, all right, you kind of mailed it in the second half. And, yeah, now you're going on the road, by the way. Now you don't have home field advantage against a Houston Astro team that has such a chip on their shoulder to show the baseball world that they can win without the scandal. And Dusty Baker's got his own chip on his shoulder. They all have a chip on their shoulder. I like the pedigree. I like the postseason experience of the Houston Astros. So I'll agree with you. I think the Houston Astros win this series and advance. All right, so in the National League, we've got the Atlanta Braves and the Milwaukee Brewers. And if you want to talk about a team that does not get a lot of love nationally, and it's interesting because usually you'd say, like, it's the Toronto Blue Jays, right? Because it's Canada and the Blue Jays just never really get attention. But the Blue Jays do, and the Blue Jays did get attention, and rightfully so. I don't know if the Atlanta Braves are getting enough attention for the lineup that they have, the pitching staff that they have. Like, this is a dangerous baseball team right now. And the series price, the Milwaukee Brewers -136, Atlanta Braves +116. Oh. Milwaukee do have the home field advantage. What's your opinion on this series?
Okay. The Braves were one game under at the break. When they clinched the division, they were 14 games over. That's losing Ronald Acuña Jr. That's without having Ian Anderson also.
They had a losing record for 126 days.
It's
the fourth. So think about that. They weren't even above 500 until August. Only three teams before them have ever done that before.
Freddie Freeman, 924 OPS in the second half. Austin Riley, 960 OPS on the road. Jorge Soler, 13 homers since he got there at the deadline. They are 3-3 against the Brewers this year. I don't want to underestimate the loss of Devin Williams. Devin Williams won Rookie of the Year last year for the Brewers. He is not a closer. He is not a starter. That's how good he was. Yeah. He has 14 strikeouts over 9 innings. He is an absolute stud in the bullpen. He is one of the reasons why Josh Hader always has trade rumors around him. He is the reason why the Milwaukee Brewers can play small ball, because they have these 3-4 with Lauer, incredible starters, and they get that devastating bullpen. The Brewers are very opposite. The face of their team, Christian Yelich, who arguably was the face of baseball 3 years ago, has not been very good this year or last year. He had those two MVP years, or MVP-esque years. He was second one of them, and then he kind of dropped off. He's the star of their team. Willy Adames is the real engine of that team offensively. And if you take out Devin Williams from that arsenal, we'll say.
And unfortunately, he took himself out. Just for people tuning in that are unaware, the Brewers celebrated clinching a division and, whatever. They had some drinks in the clubhouse, and for whatever reason, he decided to punch a wall.
Just saying that. Again, this is not like – it's not the third base coach doing it. This is a second-year player who is off to an unbelievable start in his career. He won Rookie of the Year.
Somebody that works with his hands, too. That's the whole thing. You work with your hands, bro. You know what I mean?
Listen, it scares me as someone who took the Brewers at the beginning of the year to win the NL.
And are you concerned that some of these other pitchers are running out of a little steam right now, a little dead arm?
Now, it's ironic we talk about the Brewers' big three starters when they're playing the Braves, who invented the dead arm for starters in the postseason, right? And it's ironic, and that's not lost on me. Corbin Burns is leading the National League in ERA, ERA plus, FIP, home runs over 9 innings, walks over 9 innings, and strikeouts compared to walks. I want to explain what FIP is. FIP stands for Fielding Independent Pitching. It measures a pitcher's effectiveness at preventing homers, walks, and hit by pitches. This year, Corbin Burns, his year is compared to Pedro's 1999 and Bob Gibson's 1968, okay? And Doc Gooden's 1984.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. And that's the guy who's going games 1 and 4. And by the way, he may be in the bullpen for game 3. Okay. That is an incredible bazooka. By the way, Brandon Woodruff and Freddie Peralta, not terrible. Eric Lauer, even for game 4. It's very difficult for me to bet against the Brewers, knowing how good they are and knowing how good they are at small ball, which is what you have to play in the playoffs. But that said, not to go Lee Corso on you, Max Fried got a 4.32 ERA on July 28th. It's 3.12 right now.
Charlie Morton, big time pitcher that's been in World Series, won big games.
Yeah.
This guy's a winner.
He closed out the World Series in 2017. He's pitching game 1 in Milwaukee. He's not going to be rattled. Will Smith, he's up and down as a closer. He's still tops, he's still in the top 3 in saves. I think it's going to be a very, very close series. I would go with the Brewers just because they have those 3 aces and just because they have a little bit stronger. It feels like, I don't like Team of Destiny, but it seems like they were kind of built for this. They were built for adversity. Their manager, Craig Counsell, is your quintessential make things happen with his bare hands type of guy. I would say it's going to be a very close series. Every game is going to be close. I would go Brewers in 4.
Jason B. Takafin with us just for a couple more moments. So, Jason, let's take a look at the odds right now. And obviously, you've already placed your futures. But it's time again. So these are the odds for the playoffs start right now. American League, Tampa Bay Rays to win the American League +250. Houston Astros +250. Chicago White Sox +300. New York Yankees +550. Boston Red Sox +600.
Wow.
If I had to pick a team right now, I'm going to say the Houston Astros go to the World Series.
For exactly the reasons we just talked about. This feels like Dusty Baker's year. They have the team. He can convince them that 2017 never happened in the eyes of everybody else. He can make people feel like that World Series didn't count because everybody hates them and there were sanctions and blah, blah, blah. And he can galvanize them. There's not a better motivator probably in baseball than Dusty Baker, especially when you look at all the history behind that guy. You know, this guy played outfield next to Hank Aaron. Like he's seen everything. So
yeah, played with the Braves and then my Dodgers, as you stated.
Right.
So yeah, I was thinking, so lost 2 World Series to the Yankees in a row. Then it was the 81. Yeah. I was thinking, no, he's only got 1 ring, right? Yeah.
So, and you know what? Look, he was 5 outs away in 2002. He was favored with the Nationals, and the Nationals won without him, even though he had great teams with the Reds also. I just think it's his time, and I think the Astros have been under the radar in a good way. Nobody was talking about them. You didn't hear about the trash cans. COVID was almost the great buffer for the Astros.
It was their mask. Yeah. It
really enabled them to not deal with the BS in 2020. By the way, they made the ALCS last year, and it allowed them to kind of just play baseball, and then it kind of slid under the radar this year a little bit, and I think that's going to help them. Their home crowd's going to be galvanized a little bit, and I think they're going to – they probably want the Yankees again also. They probably want the Yankees again without the sign-stealing stuff, right?
Yeah, I think they do.
Dusty Baker wants to beat Tony La Russa. Like, you don't think that's personal for him? Of course it is. So,
can you imagine if it was Dusty Baker and the Astros versus the Dodgers?
Oh my God.
You throw in the Dusty stuff, like, on top of, like, the Astros, and Dusty was, like, on the Dodgers forever, and, like, he's got a weird relationship with them. So National League, we don't have a lot of time here. So National League, Dodgers are still favored to win at a +200. San Francisco Giants are +250. Milwaukee Brewers +350. Atlanta Braves 5-1. And Jason will be with us midweek. We'll catch up with him and we'll talk more playoff baseball. So these don't have to be final picks, and the Cardinals are 12-1. But if you're looking at a value pick here, if you have to say, all right, who's coming out of the National League? What do you think?
Brewers +350. They got Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta. I know I mentioned they could have Atlanta Braves syndrome, but they were able to clinch early. And I know last week we talked about how the Brewers may be lucky if the Cardinals don't have more runway, but Craig Counsell knows how to do these things. He's very good at X's and O's. He's very good at micromanaging, and I say that in a good way. Brewers +350, that's very good value for me.
I got to tell you what, the Fox television executives right now just threw up.
Yeah.
Jason, this is their nightmare. Like Houston, yeah, like baseball fans, oh, Houston's got a chip on. No. Houston, Milwaukee's a nightmare for television.
Especially after the great finish. And I think baseball in general, capital B baseball, Major League Baseball, needed to have a tiebreaker on Monday so they can have the consecutive baseball. They didn't need to have this day off on Monday to ruin all the great momentum that they just had.
Yeah, but we got Monday Night Football to fill the void, huh?
No, for football, no problem. By the way, I'm sure there's NHL exhibition games on, no problem. But
you're damn right there is.
But for baseball, I just want there to be tiebreaker. I just think that baseball needs the anarchy and it needs the chaos. And hopefully when they expand the playoffs down the road, hopefully you get more craziness.
Jason B. Takovic. Jason, quickly on the way out, where can people find your podcast?
At IBWAA Podcast. I am at Jason B. Takovic.
Jason, we'll catch up with you later in the week. Always a pleasure, my man.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much, Gabe.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Quickest under 80 minutes of sports talk radio. Wow, we're done. Shout out to Sooner Lisa in Oklahoma, Reed in Las Vegas. We got Lucas in New York kicking with us in the late night hours. Martinez is in the Bay Area. We got a full house here tonight. Great program. Thanks to our guests, Jason B. Takovic and Ian Cameron. We'll have another full house tomorrow night after Monday Night Football. Tune in to SiriusXM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Networks at 6 o'clock Eastern. I will be on. I'll be breaking down a Monday Nighter. We killed it today. We had a big prop day today. Big day today, actually. Big day yesterday. I went 9-1 in the morning. We gave you those UFC picks. We crushed the UFC. We crushed it all weekend. I had bad money management on Saturday night. I put too much on LSU because I'm an idiot. And I had a lot of money on the over to the Mississippi-Alabama game that did not get there. There's no locks in college football. For every lock, there's a key. Right, and I've been very disciplined, and my betting has been very good recently, like much better. Like I've learned a lot of lessons, and I'm actually applying it. Yet, and it's been 6 weeks of college football. It's been 4 weeks of NFL football, and I've been very disciplined and smart. This week, I was not. Like there was a couple of times I got caught up in stuff where I put way too much money on games, and I sort of lost my game plan a bit. And I was winning, too. So I won way more games than I lost, but I should have won more money. But you can't complain. It is what it is. We made money this weekend. We made you money this weekend if you tailed us. And we plan on doing it again. We'll see if we can keep this nice NHL preseason roll going. I don't even like talking about it, actually, so I'm going to shut up. But back at it tomorrow in the NHL preseason. And NBA preseason snuck up on us tonight. The Nets throttled the Lakers. Interesting spot tomorrow. The Toronto Raptors are playing in Toronto for the first time in like 2 years. Think about that. The Raptors never even got a chance to defend their title at home. They went to the bubble, and they've never been back since. Think about that. Oh, that doesn't matter at all, though, right? For people that think, oh, the Raptors aren't going to go over the win. It doesn't matter at all that they haven't been home in 2 years. And it doesn't matter that it's a preseason game tomorrow. Raptors are -3.5 for a reason. Plus, they have a bunch of good young players and stuff. Keep your eye on Scotty Barnes tomorrow. Scotty Barnes props. Raptors win. Cover. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Sports info is everywhere. We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single day. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.